John chapter 15 verses 1 through 8. This is the reading of God's word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Oh Father, we are not able to understand your word on our own strength. Oh Father, grant us an ear to hear your voice through your word. Let the Holy Spirit teach us, make us understand, make us believe, and make us obey to bring glory and honor to you. Let us be more and more like your Son. And we thank you that even as we hear your word, that you are working. And by that word, you are making us more and more like your Son. We'll give you all the glory and honor and power. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words at the night of the Last Supper. In this little parable, God the Father is the vine dresser. Jesus Christ is the true vine. And his people, we are the branches. And the good works that the Father delights are fruit. And verse 2 says that every branch that does not bear fruit, God will take away. Or according to verse 6, cast them into fire and they are burned. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. As you hear this, you might say that it sounds like Arminianism. That if you bear fruit, then God blesses you with more. And if you don't, then you're burned. But is that what our Lord is saying? Here, Jesus, our Lord, teaches his disciples and us the true method of bearing much fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. brothers and sisters, the point is not that we must bear fruit on our own ability or on our own effort. The point is that we must abide in Jesus. That we must be united to Jesus Christ. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So if branch is broken off, it's wasting time just telling the branch to bear good fruit. Because that branch, which is broken off, cannot bear any fruit. Just like it, if you are not united to Christ, then it's no use telling you to bear good fruit because you are not able. It doesn't matter how much you try. You just are not able. You might bear fruit, fake fruit, worldly fruit, but that is not something the Father can enjoy. So it's not, God is not telling you just bear fruit. Because you are not able to do that on your own. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You must get this point. All the other religion is about you working your best to produce good works on your own strength, so that God will see that and be pleased to bless you. That's all other religions in this world. But true religion, Christianity, is about you being united to Christ. And apart from that, no matter how much you try, God is not pleased. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He who abides in me and I in him, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 7a says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You get his point. The fruit that we must bear, that fruit must come from Jesus Christ. Non-Christians, they are able to do works also. And from the outside, their work and our work look the same. Their fruit and our fruit, they actually look the same. It's hard to tell the difference from outside. And that is what we read in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I read from verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor fig from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. So here God says you will know them by their fruits. And he tells you how to do that then. How to recognize them through their fruits. Well, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons. And in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These people, they actually did these things. In Jesus' name, they cast out demons. In Jesus' name, they perform many miracles. In Jesus' name, they even taught the Word of God. But see, those things are not truly fruit. Even non-Christians can do those. You know, there are many pastors who just don't believe, and yet they're pastors. And they teach Word of God that they don't believe. And you see many false teachers who will perform these miracles, casting out demons and so on. But Jesus says, I don't know you. See, they do all these things and yet they're not united to Christ. Jesus doesn't know them. You get the point. It's not about what you do outwardly. It's about whether you are united to Christ or not. Verse 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and act on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the flood came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and yet it did not fall for it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the flood came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. The point is that the house, the two houses, they look the same. Only the foundations are different. So yes, non-Christians, they could bear false fruits. And they could deceive other people. But not God. They cannot deceive God. But the point here is that these two people, they both hear the word. So, I don't know whether you remember this point. I made this a long time ago when we looked at these verses. That person who is building a house on the rock and person who builds his house on the sand, they both hear the word of God. So comparison is not about people who go to church and people who doesn't go to church. That's not the comparison. Because they both hear the word of God. So comparison is within the church. There are true Christians and there are false. Within the church. And it's so hard to tell the difference because both are building the houses. But one is building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the other not. So again, It's not about what you do. But it's about what you do. Where is it coming from? Is it from Jesus or is it your own? That's the point that you must understand. Your works has to come from your faith in Jesus Christ. Nobody is asking you to produce these works. Forcefully, even when you don't want to, but just to be accepted, you have to. It's a waste of life. You must believe. You must be united to Christ. Otherwise, your whole life is wasted. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, this is our point today. Jesus says, he doesn't say, I am the vine. Well, he says that later, but here he does not just say, I am the vine, but he says, I am the true vine. This is very, very important. What is he saying? Well, let us look at this. This is our point today. We're going to look at many, many passages together, so let us go to first Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2. And as we understand what he meant by, I am the true vine, once we understand that, then we will get his point. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Yet I planted you a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. How then have you turned yourself before me into degenerate shoots of a foreign vine? Although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me, declares Lord God. So here God says, I planted a choice vine, a good vine. But that vine did not produce good fruit. It produced a worthless fruit. And God is not happy with that. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Let me sing now for my well-beloved a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. We're talking about God. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done it in it? Why then I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. Same story. God planted a choicest vine. And he did everything that was required. He took care of it. and expected a good grapes, but this vine produced only worthless grapes. Now, who is this vine? This vine which produced worthless grapes. Psalm 80. Psalm 80, verse 8. You, God, removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted. Now you get the idea. In the Old Testament, God brought out Israelites out of Egypt, and he drove all the nations in the land of Canaan, and he brought Israelites into that promised land. Psalm 80 verse 8 says, you removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted. Now go to Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Verse 1 and 2. Israel is luxuriant vine. He produces fruit for himself. The more his fruit, the more altars he made. The richer his land, the better he made the sacred pillars. Their heart is faithless. Now they must bear their guilt. So you understand then what Jesus is saying. Old Testament Israelites, it was a vine. But what happened? Even though God took care of them, they produced worthless grapes. Against that background, Jesus comes and now says, I am the true vine. Do you get the point? From Israelites, we see ourselves. We see the story of humankind which was fell in sin. Adam and Eve. God created them righteous. But they fell in sin. Now, only thing that anyone after Adam and Eve sinned, only thing that anyone can do is sin. So in first Adam, we produce worthless fruit. Thus, the only thing we deserve is his judgment. That's the story of human history. That God made us righteous to produce good fruits, and yet we sinned and produce worthless grapes. Worthless fruit. So only thing that we deserve is God's judgment. And that is what God says to Israelites. God will judge them. And that's what God says to everyone who fell in sin and does not believe Christ. Because they produce bad fruit. God talks about judgment. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 5. So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. Since they did not produce good fruit, this is what God says. I will remove its hedge and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed. But briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the man of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold a cry of distress. And that is what we read in our passage too, right? In John chapter 15. If anyone who does not bear fruit, it is thrown into the fire and burned. So apart from Jesus Christ, that's our story then. Because you and I, we're sinful. And we do not produce any good fruit. The only thing that will wait for us is that we'll be thrown into the fire and burned forever. But the good news is given to us in our chapter. John chapter 15. Jesus comes and says, I am the true vine. Not the old vine, but the true vine. A vine that came from heaven. Heavenly vine. This is the gospel. But you need to understand that it's not just we give our best and we try to produce good fruit. That's not it. Because all of us who are fell in sin, we cannot produce any good fruit, no matter how hard we try. Only thing we deserve is God's judgment. But is that the end of the story? No, it is not. Jesus comes. See? Jesus comes. He comes as the true vine. The true vine has come. He, the true vine, now bears good fruit. And now in him, all of his people who are united to him will bear good fruit. Because he bears it. Do you see it? Without Jesus Christ, all we are able to bear is worthless fruit. But we are now united to Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Thus, through and by Jesus Christ and Him alone, we bear much good fruit that the Father now enjoys. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. It is not by your hard effort or hard work. Of course, we must do our best, but that is not what enables us to bear good fruit. The duty of the branches is to be attached to the vine. Did you hear that? You are the branches. Your duty. Duty of the branches is to be attached to the vine. That's your duty. We must be united to Jesus Christ, and that union is accomplished by faith. Nothing else. By faith. You must believe. Otherwise, you will always bear bad fruit, and you will be burned. Jesus bears good fruit. He is the true vine that bears good fruit. And we must be attached to that true vine. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Brothers and sisters, I pray you will hear what he says to his church. You and I are not the branches that do not bear fruit and thrown into the fire to burn. You and I are in Christ. We believe in him. We trust him. We believe his word. We must believe and trust and love our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the head of the church, will bear much good fruit through you, who are the branches that are united to him. Trust Christ in this. Trust Jesus Christ in bearing good fruit. Because that is the only way. And if it is not Christ, all your effort is waste. So your focus is Christ. And if you truly want to bear good fruit, then your focus all day long has to be Christ. If Christ is out of sight, then you're wasting that day. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as you come to his table today, see your Lord Jesus Christ calling you to him to bless you and give you grace. Jesus Christ, who bears much good fruit through his church, you. Come to him joyfully, believe him and trust him, then he will bear much fruit through you for the glory of the Father. Learn the heavenly method of bearing good fruit. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, see your God working in your lives, working in this church. And we just saw that today as Erin came out and professed her faith. Did you see Jesus Christ our Lord bearing good fruit in her, through her? That she's able to profess faith in Christ. To prove that she is Christ's disciple. We bear good fruit so that we prove to everyone that we are indeed disciples of God. And if there's anybody sitting here who does not believe, I call you upon to believe Christ. It's not about you do your best and expect God to be pleased with your own works. You go that direction, you will be burned. But if you trust Christ, if you believe Christ, then bearing good fruit is guaranteed. But you have to have this focus. It's all about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are united to you. that you are the true vine and we are the branches. And as we are united to you, as we are attached to the true vine, we will bear good fruit. For you are working, and you never stop working. But Father, let us believe. Let us trust our Lord, who is the true vine. We thank you that we were once worthless vine producing worthless grapes, but you have united us to the true vine so that in Jesus Christ we produce good fruits that you enjoy now and forever. Oh, thank you, God. We are indeed blessed. And we give you all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.